salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And it's Friday morning, so it's time for Andrew Skousen and an update on the World Affairs Brief. Andrew, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Well, I've got a little croaky throat, but I think that will work out pretty well with this.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you bring us up to date on what's really going on behind the scenes?
No problem. This week's brief is a review of the State of the Union Address. My dad calls it the false allure of leftist solutions. Reporting on the president's State of the Union speech is one of my least favorite tasks of the year, he says. You have to wade through pages of lies and half-truths by a script-reading president, and it tends to weary the soul. Obama's speechwriters always craft a stream of words that are self-congratulatory, emphasize superficial changes, and shift the blame for long-standing issues to the opposition and paper over the real problems by offering leftist solutions that don't work. Strangely, pushing for a raise in the minimum wage was the most radical thing on the agenda. Everything else was downplayed with a brief one- or two-line mention. That doesn't mean this administration doesn't have more on its dangerous agenda, only that it has decided to underplay them for now, knowing that opposition to all things Obama is growing stronger. While the target audience appears to be the unemployed and the disadvantaged, few of them are interested in this kind of blatant propaganda. The only reason they might listen to the State of the Union is because the network, acting in lockstep, cancel the normal programming and force those who don't have the self-control to do something else productive to watch and listen. But the real target of these false feel-good solutions are the unthinking public school-educated middle class who tend to think they are intelligent and urbane and who tend to vote. A huge portion of the population has been influenced by decades of linguistic programming in the public schools and mainstream media that bombard them with class labels such as quote-unquote the poor, quote-unquote woman, or quote-unquote minorities. By obscuring specific differences, overgeneralizing the problem, and masking the negative effects of their grand solutions, they have successfully blinded people from seeing the victims of these programs, such as those that suffer from inflation or ever-declining small business opportunities because of the laws, regulations, taxes, and healthcare mandates. Superficially educated social scientists, my dad says, a real non sequitur, really do believe in the macro view of socioeconomic class dogma that portrays all the quote-unquote poor as worthy people, but oppressed and disadvantaged, or that portrays all quote-unquote working women as equally discriminated against and underpaid compared to men. And that's exactly the card Obama's speechwriters played over and over, this from the State of the Union, quote, in the midst of recovery, too many Americans are working more than ever just to get by, let alone to get ahead. And too many still aren't working at all. Women make up about half our workforce, but they still make 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. Women deserve equal pay for equal work. End quote. Joel says he's mixing and matching statistics to create a lie. There is very little perfectly equal work in the job market. And where there is, such as on assembly lines, women make exactly what men do, not a penny of difference. Where the speechwriters get off claiming disparity is where there is a lot of specific and subjective difference in work and where people are hired based on specific qualifications and abilities. Just as there are differences between salaries of men, there are differences in salaries among women, not just between men and women. Women make up half the workforce, but most take a different class of job that pays lower because they can, meaning they often come from two-income homes where they can afford to take a lower-paying job. Yes, there are a growing number of single women who live close to poverty, which is a highly subjective monetary level decreed by the government, who have to take similarly lower-paying jobs, but they do so because of many varied reasons, few, if any, of which have to do with discrimination. There are also economic consequences for the evils of public schooling that don't really train kids for real-world jobs. But instead of addressing these fundamentals, Obama comes up with more taxpayer money to throw at training later in life. If that weren't enough, he recommends freebies that paper over one of the real-life liabilities that lessen a woman's value in the marketplace, that they do get pregnant. I'm all for having children, Joel says, but rather than allow employers to factor in that notable disadvantage in job qualification and stability for women employees, he panders by saying, quote, "She deserves to have a baby without sacrificing her job." Cheers, applause from the crowd. "A mother deserves a day off to care for a sick child or sick parent without running into hardship." Applause. "And you know what? A father does too." End quote. Ah, Joel says, "So we all, quote unquote, deserve free time for every little household or child care problem that comes around." Can you imagine an employer trying to factor in those intangibles while interviewing someone for a job? He must be thinking in his head, quote, "How likely is this person to demand time off?" Unquote. Which the government, of course, will demand that I pay for. That would skew employment toward all single people without children. But I'm sure government would step in to help the new disadvantaged married class, which their new laws just created. And where does that kind of thinking end? Obama then harps on racial disadvantages. Quote, "A new initiative to help more young people of color facing especially tough odds stay on track and reach their full potential," end quote. Stay on track, my dad says. Most have never gotten on the working track. I've observed firsthand changes in the South where young blacks used to do most of the manual labor jobs. Now they have almost disappeared from construction, replaced by harder-working Hispanics. I know that is politically incorrect to say anyone is harder-working and more able than another, but it is true in enough specific cases to state it generally as a class here. Sometimes generalizations are true when they match a body of specific facts. Rand Paul, dissatisfied by the official Republican response from Congresswoman Kathy Rogers, delivered his own rebuttal on YouTube. Quote, "Government doesn't create jobs very well," Paul said. "Government is inherently bad at picking winners and losers. If government is to send money to certain people to create businesses, it will more often than not pick the wrong people and no jobs will be created." He pointed specifically to the old big government bogeyman, Solyndra. That was a review by the National Journal. In his next claim, Obama plays lip service to differences and then cherry-picks a generalization to claim uniformity of results. Quote, "Americans understand that some people will earn more money than others, and we don't resent those who, by virtue of their efforts, achieve incredible success. That's what America's all about."
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, and he's going over the World Affairs Brief, which, of course, is talking about the speech, the State of the Union message given by President Obama. And, of course, the problem is that President Obama talks about unemployment and what we're going to do about it. And he never mentions the possibility that maybe we should try to encourage domestic production. And you do that by having tariffs on products coming in so that they can't undersell us from overseas. I know Joel disagrees with that, and I wish we didn't have to have a situation like that. But this is what we need right now if we want to encourage American industry. We need, of course, to lower taxes on industry so that they will stay here. We reward the companies that move overseas. They don't have to pay an American corporate tax, even though they're American corporations. We should certainly do away with that. We should charge corporations that move overseas higher taxes, not give them no taxes at all. We certainly want to do away with government regulations and harassment and with the federal government requiring corporations to provide medical care. All this discourages production here in the United States. Part of a planned program to move our industrial production overseas is succeeding, and we do not create more jobs by spending more federal money on roads and on highways and on bridges and on federal buildings. We get more jobs at home here by lowering taxes, rewarding corporations that work here and stay in the United States, and stop harassing our industries. Otherwise, they're all going to move overseas. And Obama knows these things, but he's not going to mention it. Go right ahead, Andrew. Go ahead with your discussion.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, it's true. Obama, in his address, said, Americans overwhelmingly agree that no one who works full-time should ever have to raise a family in poverty, end quote. Joel says, he is, of course, paving the way for his pitch for a higher minimum wage here, his vaunted $10.10. Just because a person works full-time does not mean that all work is equal or that it deserves some form of equal pay or guarantee of the arbitrary quote-unquote living wage. There are a lot of necessary jobs out there that simply wouldn't exist if government demanded a higher wage for it. And there are lots of people who live in shared living quarters that can live on lower wages. Yes, they'll be classed in poverty, but the vast majority of today's quote-unquote poor are rich compared to people in the Depression or in other countries. Almost all have plenty of clothes, toys, televisions, video games, and even two or more cars. Yes, many have medical problems, but those are often brought upon by bad habits, eating junk food, smoking, drinking, or living a sedentary lifestyle. There are exceptions, of course. Even good people of low abilities are going to be relegated to low-paying work, and government can't change that by forcing people to pay higher wages. In fact, the opposite is true. The jobs will simply go away when the price gets too high to be able to pay for the lower ability work. What the minimum wage does is guarantee that the quantity of low-paying work for the lowest quality workers gets more scarce. Obama, ever threatening and acting the part of the imperial president, proposed the same old litany of increased training programs and government assistance, and then warned, quote, some require congressional action, and I'm eager to work with all of you. But America does not stand still, and neither will I. Applause. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do, end quote. Some things the president can do by edict, since so much is in the hands of federal bureaucrats, continuing the State of the Union quote. I'll act on my own to slash bureaucracy and streamline the permitting process for key projects, end quote. Joel says, well, I've rarely seen that happen in reality, and when it does, it's only for minority or insider companies that the bureaucrats want to give a leg up on over other bidders for federal work. If the administration wanted to really jumpstart the economy, they would propose the elimination of all federal tax and employment-related regulations for work involving 10 employees or less. You'd see a massive increase in jobs without a minimum wage for this group. Soon there would be a cry to open up further exemptions for companies with less than 50 employees, and so on. That's the real way to jumpstart small business, too. But of course, there would be the inevitable outcry from someone being taken disadvantage of or taken advantage of, or not being able to live on that wage. But in a growing, fluid job market, they should and can go elsewhere, eventually penalizing those employers who don't grow wages and benefits as the market grows. We need to stamp out this victim and entitlement mentality in the workplace. And the way to do that is to make sure everyone is free to judge, free to hire, free to fire, free to move around to whatever job they want. That way, those that have talent and work hard can naturally get ahead. At the same time, others will fail. And that failure without a safety net is essential to motivate people to change and improve. Offering more food stamps and unemployment benefits is not the answer. That only prolongs dependency. Obama then singled out the Costco Corporation as an example of a company that was acting on its own to pay for its workers a fair wage. But not all companies in retail can do the same. Costco has carved out a unique place in the market, and tight-margin retailers like Walmart can't follow without raising prices. Costco is, of course, a bulk purchase store, and customers pay a membership fee to compensate for deeper discounts. Business analyst Richard Berman noted that, quote, Costco has half the number of employees per square foot as Walmart and is a much smaller company. Its stores are only in affluent areas and people are buying in bulk there, end quote. Most consumer retail business models, grocery stores in particular, have markups that are razor thin. There's not much room for higher wages. Besides, these kinds of things can't be dictated by government. And if they are, someone will pay for the increased overhead and prices will rise. In other areas, Obama promoted the gamut of standard establishment causes, like vaccines. Quote, there are entire industries to be built based on vaccines that stay ahead of drug-resistant bacteria, end quote. Imagine the list of recommended shots if they started making a vaccine for every bacteria that has become resistant to the medical establishment's antibiotic cocktail. The problem here is the overuse of antibiotics, which are too strong and don't build natural immunity. Building healthy guts with gelatin-rich broth and probiotics is a much better solution for boosting immunity. More intervening with the body's defense mechanisms isn't going to solve this problem. Vaccines are a very serious issue. There's a whole industry based around them as a result of the government granting immunity from wrongdoing and pushing the phony vaccine success stories in schools and the media. Vaccines are so ingrained into the establishment system, they are being forced upon everyone, especially in schools and the healthcare industry. Vaccines, flu shots, drugs, and GMO foods are probably the greatest man-made health threats of our day, if you don't count future effects and costs of Obamacare. Particularly irking was Obama's claim to have an all-of-the-above energy strategy. But playing up only to solar and natural gas is hardly, quote-unquote, all potential energy sources. This from the address, quote, the all-the-above energy strategy announced a few years ago is working, and today America is closer to energy independence than we have been in decades, applause, end quote. The only reason America is closing in on energy independence is that the government is finally allowing the exploration and production of domestic oil. And that was for geopolitical reasons. For decades, they allowed environmentalists, supported by big oil, or outright secret orders by the government, to keep U.S. oil off the market in order to preserve domestic supplies for the coming world war, when tankers from the Middle East wouldn't be able to make it to America. It takes a decade or so to get things online. And that's why they're allowing it to happen now. The government's continual push for solar and wind energy will never be cost-effective compared to coal, nuclear, and natural gas. Natural gas is the only fuel the government is tolerating now, while coal and nuclear are being actively suppressed. Obama conveniently refused to address the many problems associated with fracking that have allowed natural gas production to increase dramatically, but at a grave price to local communities, particularly in the purity of their water supply. The EPA has unilaterally been making it impossible for coal-fired power plants to operate, showing that Obama's presidential edict style of governing can be equally as damaging to good things as the bad he chooses to target. As more coal plants are being taken offline, I hope they aren't short-sighted enough to dismantle them. They will be necessary again during wartime. Nuclear power has got a bad name again because of the radiation still flowing from the Fukushima plant in Japan. Clearly, TEPCO was criminally negligent by siting an old-style nuke plant with elevated fuel rod pools in an earthquake zone right by the ocean, where it can be damaged by a tsunami. Joel says, I must get 3 emails a day from people asking about all the hyped-up claims that everyone on the West Coast is going to die from Fukushima radiation. Fortunately, it's not true, and it doesn't mean that the top-rated areas, in my book Strategic Relocation, in the Intermountain West, are suddenly not viable. Radiation effects are currently worst in the northern Pacific seafood fisheries. So, Joel says, I'm staying away from Pacific seafood until this radiation leakage into the water stops. But the supposed massive increases in reported airborne radiation levels drifting to North America are grossly exaggerated. Yes, readings have doubled and tripled, but the original background levels were tiny, measured in micro-rem, that are so small that doubling and tripling is still not significant nor dangerous. Even if radiation levels reach the levels experienced by Europeans during Chernobyl, only a small percentage of people ever developed cancer and died from it, which always targets those with weak immune systems. Let's stop the panicky reaction. It's not going to be the end of the world or even close. These days, weak immune systems are more common in the U.S. because of being compromised by vaccines and bad nutrition. That said, because there are some older-style nuclear plants in the U.S., I don't recommend being downwind of them for at least 100 miles, just in case something goes wrong here. The nuclear industry has made a lot of progress since the old GE-style reactors were foolishly built on the coast of Japan. They've developed a new type of cooling and containment system which can be operated by thermosiphon gravity flow, ensuring that they can survive and stay cool even if all the power shuts off there. Unfortunately, the U.S. Regulatory Commission puts up almost insurmountable roadblocks against building new nuclear power plants or updating the old ones in this country. So most are being built overseas in China or for other nations who don't have sufficient oil or gas supplies. Our government seems intent on making sure we have a permanent deficit of cheap electrical power. Naturally, Obama pushed the new mantra of quote-unquote climate change. Now that global warming has been thoroughly discredited, he blamed the severe drought in California on carbon pollution from our power plant, hinting at coal, which he evaded saying outright here, quote, because the changing climate is already harming Western communities struggling with drought and coastal cities dealing with floods. That's why I directed my administration to work with states, utilities, and others to set new standards on the amount of carbon pollution our power plants are allowed to dump into the air, end quote.
And I think it's so vitally important that people understand this is the lie. With all of this talk about carbon contamination, or why the carbon level in the atmosphere has gone up 0.01%. That's all. Not 1%, not 0.1%. 0.01% is 1% from 0.03 to 0.04% of the atmosphere is carbon. It's a lie, but a lie told often enough is believed. And if you out in the audience must understand this and get the information out, this whole thing about carbon pollution is a lie. We're talking about 0.01% of the atmosphere. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Fortunately, our controlled Congress still doesn't have the votes to enact the disastrous carbon trading legislation. But Obama's remarks hint that they are still going to try and push that through someday. Predictably, Obama was also pushing immigration reform, or amnesty, but really went out on a limb by claiming that, quote, Independent economists say immigration reform will grow our economy and shrink our deficits by almost $1 trillion in the next 2 decades, end quote. 2 decades is a long time, and even then the number crunches are optimistic. If he thinks bringing illegals into citizenship is going to raise $1 trillion in taxes and economic growth, he's been duped.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the Internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. DRM Real Estate Advisors in Windsor reminds us that training and discipline instill the values that create leadership abilities and a can-do spirit. Those same strong values of working hard stay with the servicemen and women returning to the workforce and civilian life. America salutes our heroes. If you're a business owner, remember to hire smart and bet on a vet. This reminder from DRM Real Estate Advisors in Windsor, reminding all of us that our freedom has never been free.
Well, before we go on, I want to point out that it's vitally important to listen to the listening audience to have alternative or alternative sources of information. We're moving into a crisis situation. The stock market was crumbling this morning. Oh, before I came on the air, it was already down 195 points. It'll go up and down, but the trend is down. They're going to certainly contract our economy. They're precipitating a major crisis, and most people are going to get wiped out from what's coming down the line. You need reliable information, and that's why I hope that many of you will want to subscribe to the World Affairs Brief. So, Andrew, will you tell our listeners how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief and how they can get Joel's books on strategic relocation, on building a safe room, building a safe home? Because, of course, we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. There's going to be a major war. It's only a matter of time. And people need this information. They need to start making their plans now. For far better to be a year or two too early than 1 second too late. Andrew, tell people how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief. Tell them how they can get Joel's very important books.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way is to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. worldaffairsbrief.com, that's with an S on affairs, all one word. There they can find an easy way to sign up for the brief. It's an annual subscription. Once they sign up, they can also get access to this week's and all past week's briefs, so they can catch up on everything. They can also get a one-time free sample of the brief by sending an email to Joel, to editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Also on our website, they will find a link to our second website, joelskousen.com, and there's a listing and description of all of Joel's work, the most popular of which is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This book, I think, is popular because it lays out all of the threats that we see facing us, describes them in detail, and tries to quantify them so that people can then plan around them. Our book then helps guide people with which places in North America are probably going to be less likely to be hit hard by these threats. We try to show people even in less desirable states like California or back east, where some of the more likely places are, that we'll have some safe or more safe areas there. The best, as we just mentioned in the brief, is in the Intermountain West, where we think is going to be the highest level of safety, something. But people should look into that book. That's a very popular book. Once they have worked out some kind of a retreat location, they should probably pick up one of our other two books, The Secure Home, which is a 700-page book that highlights everything about securing a residence, including if you're building a new one or if you're remodeling an existing home, how to secure it, how to build a shelter, how to put in alternate energy systems, how to make it low profile, how to make it so that you can survive the coming times and the civil unrest and the difficult situations that are facing us after that, with draconian crackdowns and how to position yourself and your properties to best take advantage of the times of freedom that are available now. For people that are just trying to remodel a single room in an existing house, people might want to instead get our most recently updated book, The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. This is a smaller book, and it's cheaper, but it only covers a single room. It does include, however, complete plans on how to do it yourself, including block work and details about how to do a basic alternate energy system and a gray water recycling system to make the best use of your stores, and at least allow people in a minimum situation to protect themselves and their supplies. Those are all available, like I said, on joelskousen.com, but if people want to call in, that's available through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and we sell Joel's books because we think they're important, and we want people to begin making preparations for the very difficult period that's coming. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. So we're talking about, or we're picking apart Obama's push for immigration reform or amnesty. He is pushing it as if it will be an economic advantage for the country. Joel says, "This is thrown out as a false incentive to lure in support from the unthinking majority. These people are already here, working, and mostly paying taxes. And the constant flow of dollars exiting the U.S. to countries back home isn't going to change." Contrast this with the calculation done by the National Taxpayers Union about Obama's address, showing that all of Obama's promises in his talk would add $40 billion a year to the national deficit. Then in the address, there was a surprise mention of Senator Marco Rubio, who is, of course, a potential contender for the Republican nomination for president in 2016. He said, quote, "But I agree with Republicans like Senator Rubio that it doesn't do enough for single workers who don't have kids. So let's work together to strengthen the credit, reward work, etc." End quote. Why would a Democratic president do that, giving a leg up to a Republican presidential hopeful intent on capturing the White House in the next election? It's probably a sign that the powers that be are seeing their golden boy, Chris Christie, in decline due to his recent scandals about the bridge blockage. His popularity has dropped by 20 points over that alone. And so they may be preparing the next controlled candidate. Rubio is clearly in the globalist camp, as evidenced by his being invited to promote the neocon interventionist agenda at the Brookings Institution, a notorious globalist think tank. In perhaps the only new proposals thrown out by Obama, he called upon the Treasury to create a, quote, "new way for working Americans to start their own retirement savings, MyRA. It's a new savings bond that encourages folks to build a nest egg," end quote. Joel says, "Well, I think he's aiming at a civilian federal retirement program tied to a new savings bond. I see this as the first step toward providing a federal retirement structure for non-federal workers. As it grows and as the next stock market correction sends private pensions into a loss, it may well provide a vehicle for calling for all private pensions to be merged with a federal system." Like all politicians, Obama played up the sacrosanct image of our, quote, "extraordinary troops and civilians who risk and lay down their lives to keep us free," end quote. That little piece of propaganda will keep being promoted until we get another world war, and then it will be driven home with no room for dissent. It is also helpful in promoting the illusion that the current neocon agenda of wars of occupation are working, but are winding down. He outright lied when he said, quote, "Nor will I allow our sons and daughters..."
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
During the winter, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority. Reminding listeners, for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority wishing everyone a great and safe new year.
Well, Dr. Stan, back for the last segment here with Andrew Skousen on the World Affairs Brief. Andrew, you pick up the story.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Well, Obama said this. He outright lied when he said, quote, "Nor will I allow our sons and daughters to be mired in open-ended conflict. We must fight the battles, applause, but that need to be fought, not those that terrorists prefer from us. Large-scale deployments that drain our strength may ultimately feed extremism. We must move off a permanent war footing, applause. That's why I've imposed prudent limits on the use of drones, for we will not be safer if people abroad believe we strike within their countries without regard for the consequence, end quote. Well, Joel says, anyone who believes that the open-ended war on terror is going to stop being used as an excuse for a, quote, permanent war footing, end quote, is a fool. The government is currently sending hundreds of special forces into Africa, funding proxy fighters in Syria, and is involved in covert ops all around the world. Most of these smaller fights will eventually provoke larger wars to re-involve U.S. troops. Nothing was more emblematic of this than his veiled threat about Iran. After talking up the current peace negotiations, he said, quote, if Iran's leaders do not seize this opportunity, then I will be the first to call for more sanctions and stand ready to exercise all options to make sure Iran does not build a nuclear weapon, end quote. This entire strategy matches a piece written by the Brookings Institution in 2009, suggesting that it would only be acceptable to the American public to attack Iran if the government had appeared to bend over backward first to make certain overtures for peaceful negotiations. They said, quote, any military operation against Iran will likely be very unpopular around the world and require the proper international context, both to ensure the logistical support of the operation and to minimize the blowback from it. The best way to minimize international opprobrium and maximize support is to strike only when there is a widespread conviction that the Iranians were given but then rejected a superb offer. One so good that only a regime determined to acquire nuclear weapons and acquire them for the wrong reasons would turn it down. Joel inserts, that's what the current peace deal is all about, and it will be undermined. Continuing the Brookings quote, under those circumstances, the United States, or Israel, could portray its operations as taken in sorrow, not anger, and at least some in the international community would conclude that the Iranians brought it on themselves by refusing a very good deal, end quote. This from the Brookings Institution's 2009 Which Path to Persia report, page 52. Joel says, as opposition grows to both wars and domestic spying, this week the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, was busy feeding one phony and manufactured intel report after another to Congress to keep them scared stiff about these fabricated threats and make sure they vote against any serious reform. The first report had to do with Iran, as Clapper sought to sow the seeds of distrust by telling how easily Iran could break out and build a nuclear weapon. Quote, Clapper reported that Tehran had made significant advances recently in its nuclear program to the point where it could produce and deliver nuclear bombs should it be so inclined. Quote, Tehran has made technical progress in a number of areas, including uranium enrichment, nuclear reactors, and ballistic missiles, from which it could draw if it decided to build missile-deliverable nuclear weapons, Clapper wrote. These technical advancements strengthen our assessment that Iran has the scientific, technical, and industrial capacity to eventually produce nuclear weapons. This makes the central issue its political will to do so. In the past year alone, the report states, Iran has enhanced its centrifuge designs, increased the number of centrifuges, and amassed a large quantity of low-enriched uranium hexafluoride. These advancements have placed Iran in a better position to produce weapons-grade uranium. All this is from the Times of Israel. Joel says, this report is bogus information. Iran's current 20% enrichment is nowhere near enough to produce a weapon, and Clapper knows that. He's setting the state for someday announcing that Iran is violating the agreement so the U.S. can give Israel the go-ahead to attack. Then Clapper lobbied the intelligence committees on the old tired story about how al-Qaeda is going to attack America again. And this time he's linking it to Syrian radicals so Syria can again be targeted. I assume he's claiming these are different Syrian radicals than what the U.S. is delivering weapons to, but it's all so secret, no one can tell. Russia Today had the time. Russia Times had the story, sorry. Quote, fears of an attack were discussed Wednesday by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Its possible source is believed to be the al-Qaeda-affiliated al-Nusra Front, which the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, said, quote, has aspirations for attacks on the homeland, end quote, Reuters reported. Intelligence reports say there is a threat of a terrorist attack on U.S. soil by an al-Qaeda-linked group based in Syria. Surrounded by other high-ranking U.S. intelligence and security officials, Clapper on Wednesday discussed how Syria is becoming a terrorist haven after a prolonged three-year conflict. He also compared the situation to Pakistan's federally administered tribal areas, FATA, which became a safe haven for al-Qaeda leaders after the U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2001. But despite the Mideast country increasingly resembling a haven for terrorists, Joel says, whose fault is that? The U.S. is still not convinced it wants to deal with the government. Joel says, of course not. Assad has to go in order for Israel to feel secure in attacking Iran without fear of retaliation from Syria. End of the Russia Times quote. Obama ended the speech by playing it safe, touching on hot topics but not pushing them with specifics. He mentioned gun violence and Sandy Hook, but did not openly push for more legislation right now. He tried to get kids to talk parents into signing up for Obamacare. He dropped in a sentence hinting at more disarmament that has, quote, allowed us to reduce our own reliance on Cold War stockpiles, end quote. And he threw in a plug for his phony reform of our surveillance programs because the vital work of our intelligence community depends on public confidence. That's probably the only thing he said close to being right. This is a confidence game. It's all part of the big lie. Well, Dr. Stan, that's a review of the State of the Union Address. As Joel says, it's a little bit painful to go through these kinds of words, but it is a good chance at this time of year to step back and sort of review what the whole agenda of the government is right now, and sort of put it all in perspective, as well as taking the opportunity to teach people how to look past these vague, nice-sounding words to reveal the dangerous agenda that is really behind it. In the next story, China-Japan rhetoric gets hot. This from the Associated Press. China said on Friday, January 24th of this year, it has begun issuing warnings to foreign military planes entering its self-declared air defense zone against the East China Sea. Oh, it looks like we're out of time.
We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Scullin.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Jensen Arms says if you only have one life to live, why not get the most out of it? There's no need to make yourself sick, dependent, and useless. Yet so many do this to themselves each day by using drugs. Let's give life a chance. Drugs are never the answer. And this message is sponsored by Jensen Arms. They're working proudly with KHNC radio station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms saying, keep your radio tuned right here.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Medical supply on hand, and also we hope you have a personal relationship with our Lord, because that may be all that will sustain any of us in the period that lies ahead.
Well, this is the time when I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, 5 days a week. It's an expensive proposition. We don't have to pay for the time here, but we do have to pay on our other networks. So if you'd like to join us and become part of our family of supporters, why, again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. But to understand what's going on today, why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it, and we hope you'll share it with others. Because behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. We live in a material world, but there is a mystical world there. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. And God does rule in the affairs of men. We see the changes, the dramatic changes in our weather. Why are these things coming about? Well, I believe that God is causing it to come about. I think we're going to see dramatic changes in our economy in the coming months and years. Of course, that's because the Federal Reserve System and the central banks throughout the world are working in concert to shrink the economy of the world. But believe me, God is going to use this for His purposes. And so you have to understand the spiritual component of what's going on to understand what's going on today, and that's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it will give you insight into what's really going on, and perhaps you'll change the way you look at the world, and hopefully will change your relationship with our Lord. Well, today we hope many of you out there will want to get the material we have. We have a talk called Agenda 21, the Covert Plan, Population Control, the Secret Agenda. But we have dozens of talks, Forbidden Secret, an important one. And of course, you can get the DVDs by going to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Why, you can actually watch some of the DVDs free of charge. At that website, you can watch our DVDs. You can listen to our radio programs because we are broadcast there live 4 hours a day and archived 24 hours a day. And then we hope that you'll read the newsletters we have posted, or you'll read the articles. We actually put up a new item every day or two. We have a section there. Information on the internet is up at the top, just down below where the blue banners are, and you can go there and look at the various things that we post. We think they're important. We think it's information you need to have. So go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and then if you're in a position to help us at Radio Liberty, why, we'd love to welcome you as a member of the Radio Liberty family. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can get our four best tapes or CDs of the month and our newsletter. You can get our various products. We do hope that you'll become part of the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to maintain our outreach across America and across the world as more and more people come to understand what's going on. So we ask you to pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, protection until Monday. May the Lord be with you.